Okay, so I start with the title, Live Your Life and Thanks to God, because God has given us many, many gifts, many blessings, many opportunities, and I, for one, know that I've been seized all those. I've probably only recently begun to start trying to seize those opportunities and blessings and use them and actually actively try and live my life in a way that I show that I'm thankful for all those opportunities I've been given, for all those blessings I've been given. And so I wanted to try and pass some of that on. So let's start with the obvious place, which I'm sure most of you know we're going to, James 1, 22 through 25. Who would like to read? I work for the people that were paying you money earlier, so. If you want cash, that cube's still floating around somewhere with $5 in it, so. Unless it's already been taken. But does anybody want to read? You want to start with volunteers?
I will. All right. 22 through 25.
Yep.
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does.
It's pretty obvious scripture to go to there. We can't just listen and show up to church and try and do that. You know, we can't think that we're going to be a good Christian because we went to church a lot, because we heard a lot, because we know a lot. We have to actually go out and actively practice that. And Christ is a good example of that. He went out and spent most of his time traveling about and teaching and doing all this stuff, casting out demons. He truly lived the life. I mean, that's why he's our greatest example and our Savior. And then I'm going to go on to another verse. We can break this one up into a bit. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Yep. So if we want to do something like each read two verses or something like that and pass it around, kind of spread it out. 14 through 30. Would you like to start, since you look like you just found it?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, just read 14 and 15 and then pass it on to the next person.
Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip.
Can I read two more?
Yep.
The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more.
But the servant who received one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, the master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money.
X, want to go there? Yeah.
Okay. 20 and 24, you said?
Yeah.
And he who received the 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. See, I have gained another 5 talents. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
And
you can decide whether to pass that to the left or right there.
Yeah, 22 and 23. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee Lord over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy
Then you want to read Max?
I don't know. I don't have it open.
Well, then get it open. Yeah.
Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you.
Master replied, you wicked, lazy servant, so you knew that I have harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not gathered seed. And 22. Well then, you should have put my money on the deposit with the banker so that when I return, I
Then the last three. And then whoever wants to do the last three, since there's an odd number.
Take therefore the talents of them and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Very good. And so I want to ask, what do you guys see jumps out at you in those scriptures? Is there anything that specifically?
Following God is an action. You can't just take what he's given you and not work with it. You have to work to make what he's given you possible.
That's good. And do you have something else or the same? Yeah. Anybody else have anything? Because something interesting, this is something that I actually learned from Matt recently in some of the Bible studies we were having in our local group, was you notice that the man, the unprofitable servant, he didn't go and spend the money. He didn't come back and he didn't say, well, look at this new Ferrari I bought, the money you gave me. I thought that was for me. He didn't spend it and have fun. He didn't, you know, just throw it away and say, oh, well, I don't care about my boss. I'm just going to chuck it and, you know, just give it to some random person, you know, just not use it at all. He actually did save it. He did what was at the time, what was the minimum requirement to keep something safe. If somebody lent you something, you were required to protect what was lent to you. And at that time, the minimum requirement was to at least dig a hole, put it in the ground. And that way he was absolved of any responsibility from that point on. If something happened to it, it wasn't his fault. He did his minimum amount. So when his master came back, he said, here, I've got it, you know, everything. He didn't take anything from it. He didn't steal any of it. He didn't use it for himself. He gave him back everything that he had been given, and yet he was still called an unprofitable servant and was cast out. So it just shows that we aren't expected just to take care of what God gave us and, you know, give back exactly what he gave us. We're expected to do more with it. We're expected to profit it. We're expected to multiply it. Expected to use it. He doesn't just give us stuff so that we can sit there and look at it. It's given to us so that we can use it, enjoy it, and be profitable to God. I mean, what would you guys have done if somebody gave you what was at that time a year's wages? You know, somebody, I believe that's what it was, about a year's wages for one talent. And, I mean, if somebody gave you, I don't know, $30,000, $40,000, depending on where you work, you know, what would you do with that if you got that in one day and were expected to take care of it? $40,000. Are you thinking of how much cars are worth right now?
Yeah.
I know there's a couple of things I'd like to do with that money. I wouldn't do it, but I know I could think of a few things. And so the question is, are you grateful for the gifts that God has given you? Are you grateful for his blessings when he gives you stuff? I mean, because if you are, then you should use them. It doesn't show gratitude. I mean, have you ever given something to somebody and watched them, you know, just like, you know, maybe something simple like food. And they sit there and go, oh, yeah, that looks really delicious. And then they don't eat it. Do you feel like they really appreciated that gift you gave to them? No. It's when you see them open it up and use it, eat it, take it. Enjoy it. That's when it's, and so we need to do that same thing. And so there's a couple of things. There's a reason I use three things. You know, we're given gifts, opportunities, and blessings. I use them in all orders. I'm going to start with opportunities because I think it's important. And that is, God doesn't need your strength. He just needs somebody willing to be a servant and to let him do the work. So you don't need to look at your life and go, oh, well, I'm really good at this. That's what God needs, because he really needs my help. I think that, you know, I don't think God's good enough to teach people, so I'm going to come here and teach. That's not the case. It's, in fact, the opposite. God's a much better teacher than I am. And so I was going to give an example of that. So 2 Corinthians 12:9. Does anybody want to read that? I saw a hand over here at the last one. I think I saw somebody try and volunteer over here for the last one. Do you want to read this one?
Sure.
Just 2 Corinthians 12:9.
And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me.
So it's just a good example of what I was saying there. That's what Paul said when he had his weakness. He said that God's strength was made perfect in his weakness. And I believe that's been read a couple of times already this feast. And I was going to give examples, you know, as I was saying earlier, I'm not here because I think I'm so smart or cool that you guys just had to come and listen to me. You guys just had to hear what I have to say. That's definitely not the case. You guys would probably much rather be sleeping in. And so, you know, just like atonement, right, Isaac? 3 p.m.
We get 5.
But I'm here because God gave me the opportunity to be here. Because God went and, you know, had Matt ask me to do this, and I went, well, that doesn't sound like any fun, speaking in front of people. So, yeah, sure, I'd love to do it. That was pretty much, I think, word for word my answer. At least the first time. And so I'm here to try and be a tool for Christ. I'm not here to try and be great myself. I'm here to be a tool and hope allow God to speak through me and to teach you these lessons. And that's just a personal example that's right here, right now. That's the only reason I'm giving it. And so, and another example is being saved, being forgiven, being baptized. It's not something that we can do on our own. That's an opportunity God has given us. That's a gift he has given us. And we want to take hold of that gift, so I assume that many of you here, if you have not already been baptized, are probably thinking about that, so that's probably a pretty relevant one. And it's an opportunity that God has not only given to each and every one of you, but to all of mankind. It's something he's holding out for you, saying, here, I want to fix our relationship. I want you to be a part of this. And all it is you going, yes, I'd like to partake in that opportunity. It's you taking the initiative to go out and say, yes, I want my life to take part in that opportunity that you are handing to me freely. Because there's nothing we have to do for that gift except believe on him. It's just a choice we make in our hearts. And so I want to, at this point, ask you guys to chime in with some stuff. Now, it's not always easy to get people to do. I don't like to speak up. But what opportunities has God given you to serve others? and to live your life for him. Can you think of any examples in your life, or maybe that you've seen other people doing here at the feast? You know, if you can't think of something for yourself, you know, think of your parents. They probably did something pretty cool.
Just by living your life in a certain way or showing what you believe can be a witness to others, to God.
That's a really good example. How many times are we willing to wear shirts with bands and TV shows we like on them, but we're too scared to put what church group we're celebrating with? It's not something we should ever be afraid of if you're willing to put anything else on your shirt. So that's a really good example, and I believe that example was brought up earlier as well. So he gave an example of a exact time when that came up, and so that's really good. Anyone else have any ones? Or do I have to start picking on people? Maybe examples of opportunities that you've missed. I can go first on one of those, because I know that those aren't easy ones to bring up. For me, I was given an opportunity with public school. I threw that away. I mean, I got my diploma, I graduated. I got a high school diploma, but you know, the worst part of it was, because, you know, I still don't agree with the public school system, don't get me wrong, but I had an opportunity there to gain more knowledge. I gained a bit there, but I could have gained a lot more, probably taken advanced classes, could have showed up, learned some life lessons, gotten some good grades, maybe had a good GPA if I ever wanted to go to college, but I pretty much threw that away because I didn't even take the opportunity, you know, I didn't have a chance to, like, go and work instead. I ended up sleeping through the classes, and instead of getting a little bit of out of it, I got absolutely nothing. How profitable was that? How smart was that of me to, in my spitefulness, just show up and not do anything? So, I assume that there's not only one example here. Do you have any more? I'm going to start calling on people. Maybe each person come up with one, even a small thing. Sergey, you got one? I don't have cash, but you do like to talk. You know,
I got one.
Go for it.
I had an opportunity to go to breakfast with him this morning, and I passed it up because I wanted to sleep.
That's not exactly what we're going for, but yeah. That is. I was speaking more on these opportunities. I mean, that is an opportunity. That's an opportunity to fellowship that you passed up on. Although I'm looking a little bit more for opportunities where God has given you an opportunity to do something for him.
I have no more for it. People ask us why we're here. Instead of saying, oh, we're a big group, saying, you know, Feast of Tabernacles and telling them what we're actually here for.
That's a good example, yeah. A lot of times we'll be like, oh, I'm with that group. Or did any of you have work that you had to get time off of or school? Yeah. Does anybody know what you told your teachers or your boss?
Just
going to
be out of town.
Yeah. I know that they have a little notes field on mine. I wrote in what I was going for. Feast of Tabernacles, Day of Atonement, the Eighth Day. I figured that's what the notes field is for. It helps that my big boss is going with me, so. I get the feeling I won't have too many troubles getting it off if he's going to the same place. But yeah, there's many examples like that. I mean, when your teachers ask you where you went, tell them. When your teachers want to know, when your boss wants to know, so many of them will start up a conversation because they're very curious about it. I've run into lots of people who don't believe at all or they just go to normal stuff. And it's amazing how many questions people have when they see something. It's such a simple thing of just being willing to tell the truth. I mean, you're not exactly lying when you say, well, I went to something with church, but are you really telling the truth if you haven't gone out and explained it to them? If you don't say, yeah, it's the Feast of Tabernacles, it's in Leviticus, it's this thing, it's the holy days. We don't believe that they were done away with, so we still celebrate them. Here's kind of what it represents, because you know what? A lot of people want to hear that, even if it's only that brief explanation. A lot of people don't want to go super in-depth, but they don't want to just, I went with some church thing. Like, oh, is it a retreat? No, it's not a retreat. We didn't go for some weekend up in the mountains. We did go up in the mountains, that are around here locally, though, a few times. And so then there's more examples of gifts or blessings that you can be given. There's the very obvious one of wealth. You guys got any other examples or maybe specifics in that of how you can use those gifts to give back to God? There's a couple of key ones I'm looking for. Two.
Talents. For example, there's a couple of teenagers who are going up and playing musical instruments for church. You know, Anna Masco is going up just about every day and playing either her violin or her guitar. She's using her talents to give back to what God has given her to give back to God.
It's a very good one. I have that listed here under music. And there's special music. Lots of people get up and do that. But since we got on to music, I'll start with that one. There's another big one. Does anybody want to try and guess at what the big one is? Maybe you don't have exceptional musical talent, but you still participate in this one. Yeah, just singing up. I got a chance to meet with somebody who belongs to Independent Baptist Group. He's actually a missionary in Bulgaria. And his name's Nick Malucci, and he said this once. He says, all you really need to tell if a church is alive or dead is to listen to them sing. If it's silent and murmuring, you can tell that the church is just, they're already dead in spirit because they're not singing out. They're not happy to be there, to be singing to God. He says, if you're too ashamed to sing to God in such a protected, loving place as church in front of people who are doing the same thing, how much can you live the rest of your life for him? If you're too afraid to sing in church, I mean, I'm no good singer, but I still try and sing out most of the time as much as I'm able. Because I'm singing for God and I'm happy to be here. I want to sing. It's not something that I always did as a kid. I always tried to mumble as little as I could, mouth it or whatever. But I realize now, no, I enjoy singing for God. And so even if I'm not good, at least in the congregational singing, I can try and get my voice added to the thing. And so something that I know as kids, something I kind of avoided a lot, and probably there's a few of you in here who avoid it sometimes or do the mumbling thing. It's not out of the ordinary, because I know I did it as well. But, you know, can hear Josh, who I've heard can't carry a tune to save his life. He's just not musically talented in any way, and I still hear him singing all the time. And so that's one big one is, How can you go out into the world and live your life and be a shining example if you can't even shine inside your own church? So does anybody have any other blessings that you can use to help others in ways you can use them?
Like if you have a lot of money, like give back quite a bit of it to like churches or charities or whatever, you know?
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I have that listed here. Giving money to people in need. Or just being freely willing to use it, you know? It can be simple stuff like taking people out to eat. If you can afford it, volunteer to pay for the meal for everyone, you know? Just little things like that can be as well. You know, tipping well, showing the staff that you care about the service that you provided can also be little things, you know? And you can do that in any measure as to what you are given. You don't need to be rich. You got one? That's a really good one. That's even if you're not a good one, you can sometimes do a little bit to help out. But yeah, there's lots of people here who are great speakers and have given their talents. And maybe some of you guys will be doing that. Even if you aren't a great one, you can still share in Bible studies and speak up, share your knowledge. Maybe give a little Bible study like this where you only have a bunch of teenagers to frighten you in front of public speaking. No, I'm kidding. So that's a really good one, and I believe there's some examples here. We have one in the back room, Mac Affney, who probably, like me, although he wasn't his first thing to do public speaking, but he's so talented at it because he's chosen to take that opportunity God has given with him, and he's turned it around to be such a great talent. So I want to say he's such a great example because I've always saw him as somebody who just was naturally gifted at it. And I got a chance to talk to him and find out that it wasn't his natural inclination. It was something that God used his weakness to show his glory, because he is great now at it because of God. It's not because, and I don't assume he's not going to be offended that I say it's not because of anything he's done, it's not because of any talent. It's all because of God that he's able to do what he does here and to host this, help host this site and set up all this stuff. Something where it goes back to that old example of taking the weakness that you have sometimes. You don't always have to be good at what God wants you to do. You just have to be there and ready and willing to do it. It's a lot of times really hard to do. So there's one that I'm getting at. It's a simple one. It's not the best example. Well, it's a good example, but it's the tithe. God gave you 100% of everything you have. This isn't, you know, going out and multiplying stuff, but the least we can do is give back the 10% he asked for, right? He gave us 100%. All he's asking is for 10% of that increase back. And so I think that's just a good example of at least do the minimum. I mean, we don't want to be that unprofitable servant, but if you can't even be an unprofitable servant, how much worse can you be, you know? So, you know, at least start with stuff like that, because that's, you know, a good learning thing, you know? The guy who did that, that's a good teaching tool of burying it in the ground. If, you know, he did the minimum, so he knew what the law was. So start by doing at least the basic and use it as a teaching tool to go further and do more. That's what the law is supposed to be for us. It's why we follow what the Bible's taught us, because it's supposed to teach us how to be able to do that stuff instinctively in our heart, so we don't need to read through the law anytime we're trying to make a decision, because it's already written on our hearts. That's what it means to be written on your heart, that you instinctively, you see something that needs to be done, and you know what God wants you to do because you're in that close of relationship with him. You take those opportunities because it's already there on your heart. You don't have to go through and go, okay, well, here in Leviticus, there's an example of this is what we're supposed to do in this situation. That you use that as a guidestone now while you're young, so that when you're older, you don't have to look at it. And so that's a good one. There's another way you can use wealth too, and there's an example of it. And I really like this one. It's something I have occasionally done myself, so I thought of it. Can anybody think of what it is? Using money is similar to giving, if anybody can think of it. No? Well, I see some smart people over here. It involves lending money, and there's a way of doing it. It's prescribed in the Bible. That's it, right there. And you can go to Deuteronomy 23, 19 through 20 for that one. It's a good one that I like. So you might want to read that one quickly. It's a simple example, but... yep. So you are allowed to charge interest to strangers if you wish to. But that's a good way of, I think, of... Sometimes I think it's almost better than just giving money. Because you give somebody $100 and they're happy for the $100 and they go use it. But if you lend it to them, without interest, of course, so that they can only have to pay you back exactly the same amount, it's amazing because they care more about that. Because they know they're going to have to pay it back. They use it for what they actually need a lot of times. Because they know that they have to give it back, so they use it for what they need. Am I $100 short on my rent this month? Well, I know I have to pay it back, so I'm not just going to spend it and go out and live my life frivolously again. I'm going to, on my next paycheck, now that you helped me with my rent, I'm going to save money and spend it less. You know, I'm not going to go to parties or whatever, and I'm going to save up that $100 so that now I can give it back to you. That's not always the case, but that's an example of where you can be very useful with it, and you don't even have to do much. I mean, you're not even losing any money. Every once in a while, people will back out on you, but when you lend out money, you should already consider it gone. Don't worry about it coming back. When it comes back, it's just another blessing. So can you think of any other ways that you can use your talents, gifts, blessings? I've got some extra dash marks on here. I can type in stuff if you get something I don't have. I'd love to have that opportunity. There are plenty of ways. You can go to, scroll down here. to get some ideas for spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. Would anybody like to read that? Maybe somebody hasn't read before. Would you like to, James? It looks like you're there. Correct.
To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguish between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues.
Okay, so now having read this, do you have any, can you think of maybe some more examples of what you can do to live your life? Because you guys will have some of those gifts. Do any of them jump out at you as ones that you have or ones that you've seen other people here having? Is there anybody here with healing? Because that'd be great. I haven't seen that too often, at least not in the miraculous way that Christ used to do it. So he said we'd do greater things. So if anybody's got that, I've got an old scar that I need taken care of now. But I think you had... That's good. That's another example. It's actually one I had down here a bit later, the fruits of the Spirit. You want to read that verse scripture as well, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So we might as well have them all up there in our heads while you're trying to think of some examples. So one of you on the other side over there like to read? I mean, we haven't gotten to that side of the table yet. Yep.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law.
So he just pointed out joy, which was one of those, which I'm glad he did because that jumps on right to the next part. I still want you to be thinking about those other ones as well, because there's the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, working of miracles. So there's still all those other ones that, can you think of any examples maybe here of those or any of the fruits of the Spirit of people using those or any opportunities maybe that you might have? Because yeah, I'm willing to bet some of you recognize that you have some of these blessings and gifts in your life. Is there any that you have that you occasionally use to... or maybe use all the time? I know that we have Sergey over here. Pretty sure he's got the spirit of joy there because he always brings a smile to everybody's face whenever he's around. He definitely brings a lot of joy to people's lives. Whether he does something cool and we're happy to watch it or whether he fails and laughing because, you know, it's hilarious. Is there any other example? I mean, I know you guys have these talents, so does anybody want to volunteer for speaking up on them? What talent do you think you might have, James, out of any of these or any that aren't listed here that you can use or do use? Do you have any that you can think of? Yeah, that's fine. You can all, if you think of one, just... come back to it, volunteer. But if they don't seem amazing to you, remember that where it says, you know, in our weakness, he is made strong. So let God work in your life, and those little ones that you think, oh, I have a little talent here and I'm not sure how great it will be, give it some time and let God work on it. Maybe pray about it or ask somebody to pray for you about it. And God can really turn that around to be a great thing. Is there any other ones here? You have any special talents, maybe? I know we're not in a talentless room here. So, Slava, what talent do you think you have?
I don't know. I have talent because of you. Because you teach me how to do Rubik's Cube.
That is a talent. I know I wasn't smart enough to figure it out on my own. I had to teach it as well. But I know you have talents. Can you think of any talent maybe that you showed yesterday on the hike? Yeah, you were the one carrying the pack with all the water for everyone.
He was climbing everywhere.
I was carrying it and climbing around too. That's a talent. That's serving. That's being kind there, you know. Just being the one willing to carry the extra weight of the water up the mountain for everyone. Being willing to sometimes stay back so that you can help the old people get some water too, because they probably need it a bit more. That's a talent. That's a gift that you were able to give. That's a blessing. That's very true. It is, yeah. That's something that I've slowly gained over time. But I was hoping that you guys would be able to come up with at least one or two, or maybe something that you see in somebody else. What talents have you seen here at the feast? Maybe that's a better way to think about it. What talents have you seen the adults here giving off? Because that's a lot easier way to see talent, you're right, to see it when somebody else is doing it, see their amazing work. Can you think of any specific talents that people have used here at the feast? I know I can think of a few. I have a few written down here.
People they still run and play, hang out with young people.
Yeah, that's a talent. That's teaching the kids, being willing to hang out with them and care for them. You know, Tyler's out there, you know, breaking his ankle every week just to play soccer with you guys. It's because he knows you enjoy it, and it's encouraging to see somebody out there to start that stuff. That's a really good example. Can you think of any other ones? Maybe the person who hooked up the mic here?
All the people who worked so hard to get the food prepared, like when we went to the park.
Yep. Yeah, that's not something that's easily done. I got to see some of the back end of that. It took a couple of people's effort to plan for it, get it paid for, and get it out here and set it out, serve it. There's a lot of steps involved in getting us all fed. Well, since nobody else has pointed it out, how about Ben Gaffney? He set up all the sound stuff. He's got a talent for that. He's got it all working nice and smooth. It's another example of taking a talent that you have and just using it. It's something that we all see here every day. Maybe you don't see it as much because it's done so well. If you let it screech a bit more often, maybe we'd notice him a bit more. But he does that really well, and it's something that he's come here and spent a lot of time to share that, and it's just part of his life. You don't see him talking about, oh, man, all this work I have to do. No, he's just part of his life. It's just what I do. And I was also going to go here with knowledge and wisdom. Now, you guys might think that either as teenagers, you either think you know everything. I know I didn't. But I'd probably thought it a few times. Or you might be smart enough to realize that you don't. But you can't sell yourself short either. And I've got a couple of verses for that, because you guys also have some knowledge and wisdom to share. Doesn't mean you can go home and try and tell your parents how to raise you or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to explain. But you definitely have a lot of knowledge and wisdom, and we're going to explain why you have a lot of that and that you can use and share. So you can do Proverbs 1:7. Anybody like to read that? Would you like to read?
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A fool despises wisdom and instruction.
Yep. And then Proverbs 2:6 for somebody else. On the next page. Would you like to read that quickly? Correct.
The Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding.
So I thought those were just two quick, good verses. You guys are growing up in the church. You're coming here and listening to God's word every day. So you might not have all the wisdom in the world. You don't have the gray hairs to show each bit of wisdom you've earned yet, but you still have knowledge and wisdom. It's not because you're great hot stuff as a teenager that, you know, I know everything. It's because you're sitting here listening to the word of God. It's because you read your Bibles. And if you don't, you know, do it more, because that's how you'll gain the knowledge and wisdom. Because even at school now, there's probably a lot of people there who don't go to church and learn from God to gain that knowledge and wisdom, and they could use that. So when they ask questions, read your Bible, remember what God said, and you can pass that on. Even at a young age, if you're reading your Bible and listening to God and listening to sermons, you'll have so much knowledge and wisdom to pass on to the rest of this world. And a lot of times you might give them a little answer, and then they know later in the future, when they have more problems in their life, who to come to. And that's when you can explain, well, the only reason my life seems to be going relatively well is because I have God in it, because I surrendered to God and let him take charge of it. I accepted his free gift of salvation, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. And then each little step that you have to share with people can all lead down to that ultimate goal of sharing the gospel, the good word, with people. And then I got another one here that, because there's a bunch of it here in the gifts and stuff, and I didn't go into all of them, but the few that really jumped out. And so the last one I'm going to go into is faith. And I think this one's really important, because it's something where if you have a gift of a lot of faith, it's amazing how much you can share that with people and how inspiring that is. When you can see somebody who says, don't worry, it'll all work out. You know how reassuring that is? When you see a situation, there's a problem, and somebody that you respect and trust just says, it'll work out, because they have faith in God to work it out. Even when you're lacking that faith, you know how much that bolsters your spirit to see that? You know, with this feast, you know, setting it up wasn't an easy thing, but most of the people who were setting it up, should I say all the people who were setting it up, they had faith, and it all worked out beautifully. And nobody was worried about it not working out. You didn't come here thinking, well, are we going to have, you know, only half of it set up, or are we only going to have this? Because everybody had faith that was going to happen. And that faith is contagious. And I think that's one of the biggest things that you can have, is have faith in God and pass that on. When somebody goes, well, I'm not sure it's going to work out, sometimes just be able to tell them it's going to work out. Share scripture. That faith is such an important thing, in my opinion. Because that faith leads on to so much more faith, to hope of the resurrection, all the other big faiths that we have. Faith that he has forgiven our sins. Faith that he's going to raise us up on the last day. And so I was just going to say, that's a good one. And so when you're walking around and people are saying they can't do stuff, I mean, when we were doing that hike, I know that when I was going up there, I've developed a bit of a fear of heights. I was not enjoying it as much as I probably could have. I definitely still enjoyed it, though. It's worth it. Go up there, have your knees shake, and enjoy the view, because it's worth it. But watching all these young people run around like mountain goats, it definitely made it a lot easier for me. I was hanging on the chains a bit more than they were. Not as much as some of the other people, but I was definitely hanging on to a bit more. But I wasn't worried at all, because I saw everybody else running up there. It's just an example of faith. If you're not worried about doing it, and I know there's a bunch of people here talking about dying. I think it was more for the fun of talking about it and joking about their death and wanting to be missed when they're gone. But it's as simple as saying, no, you're not going to die. You don't have to worry about that. We've got a God that's more powerful than that. Somebody's joking about how, oh man, what if we all died at once? I said, that'd be horrible. People would really talk about us being a cult then if we all went at once. So it's like, but we all made it just fine. And it's just a little bit of faith, you know? And we all made it fine. Even the older people who made it up there, they did incredible. And so I think faith's a really big one. And so that's the one I ended on. I'm not sure how much that went for, but that's where I'm going to go with. Does anybody else have any other ideas? Has you thought of any examples of stuff in your life or stuff in other people's lives of where you see people actively living their life? And sometimes it's not easy to see, because there are a lot of people here who they've made it so much a part of their life, we just see it as natural. Is there anybody you can think of that is so good at living their life for God, or that God has worked with them so much that they can now do it? Because probably wasn't through their strength. I doubt anybody here is going to say that, oh yeah, I figured this one out. No, they're going to say, God worked me long and hard hours to figure this one out. See, a lot of lessons and teaching from them. So can you think of anyone here maybe who's an example of someone who's so good at living their life that you just, you don't even think of them as having actively doing it because it's just such a natural thing? Probably a lot of your parents. There's a couple of you. There's many of you in here who do a lot of that anyways. See people here who go up and sing. Something that I can't, I don't think I'll ever do is volunteering to go up and sing. Like I said, I'll stick with trying to sing out in the hymns, but a lot of you young people will go up and sing and do special music and stuff, and we don't even think twice about it because we just assume you guys are going to do it because that's just how you live your life and share your stuff. So you guys are already doing that to some degree. And so the idea here is, you know, you're young. You have so much life ahead of you to perfect those. So take what you already have and keep running with it. But can you think of any specific ways that people around here just naturally, I can think of an example or two that specifically came with this feast of something that just came up because it was something that they naturally thought we should do. The envelopes in the back for the tips. That was something that somebody just said, oh yeah, I think we should do that. I doubt it was something that came up because they went, well, what should we do? No, it was just something they thought, oh yeah, we're supposed to do that. And so they announced it and they did it. And it was not a big deal, but it is a big deal because it's something that just naturally they thought that we should do it and volunteered for it, and the envelopes were back there right away. Yeah. There's a lot of good speakers here who just naturally go up there and you can see their talent, and it's the talent given to them by God. And they share it and they help explain the word to us. And a lot of them, it appears very natural. And that's because they've chosen to let God do the work through them.